Jesus not only said that your eye would not see death. He said that you and I, as Christians, those who follow Him, will be strong. They will last forever. Can you imagine us putting up with each other forever? That's called true grace from God. God says, I love you that much. Therefore, this week 2,000 years ago had to take place in order for you and me to be able to be with our very best friend, Jesus Christ. It said, whosoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. That anyone who has accepted Jesus can never die. We will separate from the body. And you know, that hour is coming for each of us individually. The scripture tells us time and time again and focuses on the hour to come, the age to come. Jesus would say, my time has not yet come. The hour is not here. Now, all before Jesus waited with excitement about the day that was coming when Christ Himself, Almighty God, would indwell the human being, would become a part of who we are, because He says, your body is going to be my temple. They pointed to it. They preached about it. They gave prophecy. And then the hour had come. The hour had come. And none of those who prophesied of concerning that hour, none of those who proclaimed so clearly that the hour would come, none of them got to see it here on earth. But they knew it's coming. They had the faith. It has always been by faith that you and I are saved. It has always been by that hope that you and I are kept. My hope is in Jesus Christ. I cannot trust a government. I cannot trust people. I must put my hope in Jesus and my full trust in Him. Because He's the only miracle maker and giver that we have. And God said that week should be a special week. It should be observed. Jesus let us know that it would be His body that was broken for us we were to remember. He let us know it would be His blood that had to be shed, not yours, not mine. If I shed my blood is just shed, because I am a human being, and the body will bleed out. But when Jesus shed His blood, that blood covered the sins of whosoever cometh, whosoever believeth. That's how powerful that blood is. You and I won't need it. He's got a whole new body for us. You think there was shouting in the old days with revivals? You ain't heard nothing yet. God said, I will send. And when God said, I'm going to do something, He's going to do it. Don't you worry. It's coming. And He says, I'm doing it because I love you. I'm doing this because I love you. I'm not doing this for punishment to where you will die. I sent my Son to take that punishment so you will never have to die. I will never feel what Jesus felt when he was on that cross. He knew what was going on, but the time came. You can never prepare for tragedy, can you? Have you noticed that? You're with someone and you know, well, yes, they could die at any time. But when they do, you're not prepared. That's because of our human condition. Humanly, we look at each other and we love one another. We remember what you look like. But Christ says it's what's on the inside. And I'm going to give you the best look you've ever had one day. And we will know one another. But the time had come for him to enter the city. The hour was there. Think of it. That hour, 2,000 years ago, ushered in all the promises that Jesus had ever made. It ushered in for you and for me. It ushered in ultimate victory from that point on. Well, you know, I still feel a little down. That's your feelings. We let our feelings get the best of us a lot of times. Well, you know, I just don't feel like praying. Then shut up and don't pray. God never tells us that we have to do something. He said, I'm going to give you the free will. Now, Larry, if you don't want to pray, don't pray. Well, I can't do that, Lord. I got to talk to you all the time. Then shut up and talk to me about what we need to do. For those who are listening saying I should never use the term shut up, Jesus used it quite often. The hour of his betrayer had come. Now listen to this scripture. Mark 14, verses 41 and 42. Jesus had went to the garden to pray. But he knew that he needed to be alone with God the Father. So he tells his disciples, you all stay right here. You stay here. And you pray. And Jesus goes over to another part and he kneels and he prays. Well, he gets up and he comes back to his disciples. Every one of them are asleep. Every one of them are asleep. So he said, boys, couldn't you even stay awake just for this short time? Do you not know what's happening? And they didn't. And if they did know it, they did not want to believe it. So Jesus goes back. He comes back the second time. They're asleep. Sounds like a Baptist church, don't it? They're asleep. And he turns and he goes back and prays more. We'll learn about that this week. And then he goes back the third time. Listen. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? When the Lord comes in the future, second coming, will he find faith on earth? That was his question. When the Lord comes, will he find faith? Or will he find us all sleeping? Sleeping through the tragedy. Or, you know, I just got to close my eyes and get out of this mess. Well, you close your eyes, you wake up. Have you noticed you're waking up in the same mess that you closed your eyes in because you wouldn't deal with it? Are you still sleeping and resting? Then he says, enough! You see, Jesus spoke with authority. Do we remember that when those who were listening listened and said, we've never heard anyone who speaks this way? All the other teachers, all the other rabbis, They would only quote what the elder rabbis had said. Jesus came preaching and teaching through his own authority. He's not quoting anybody except for himself. Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Now, listen to what he says. Rise. Get up. You slept long enough, boys. Get up. Reality is here. Let us go. Do you notice he didn't say, get up and let us run away? Let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Singular. My betrayer. Judas Iscariot. Jesus knew he was the one to betray him. And he said, the hour has come. The Son of Man had been betrayed. Betrayed by a friend. Betrayed by a friend. There's no such thing as my enemies betraying me. Your enemies betraying you. They're your enemies. That's what they're supposed to do. But he's betrayed by a friend. A friend that sat right to his left. A friend that was close, and betrayal would come from him. There was never a point in Jesus' ministry to where somebody didn't try to control it, even from the point of taking him and making him king. Man has tried to take control from the beginning of the age. I will do this better than you could, God. No, not too hot on working that one out, are we? But he's betrayed. Tell me something. Do you know the feeling when someone you love betrays you? When your close friends betray you because you don't think like they do or talk like they do? I very well remember when I was called to preach, what friends I had were gone. Larry, and these are Christians, he's not going to make it. Why don't we pray for our friends instead of be negative with them? Maybe I won't make it, but I can tell you this, I know in whom I believe, I am assured that what he calls me to do, he will complete it through me, and then he will welcome me home. Home at last by a betrayer. Here's what that hour also did. It was the hour of revelation concerning his power. Now, folks, You gotta get this. That night in the garden, the ultimate power of Almighty God had been poured out. Jesus Christ was about to open his mouth, and you would see what that took and what happened when he did. Listen to this. John 18. Verses 4 through 6. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them. You know, he comes strolling up and he's going to ask them. Think of that. He wasn't nervous. He knew the hour had come. Went out and asked them, who is it you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. Now I want you to listen to this statement by Jesus. I am. Remember hearing that? You remember hearing God proclaiming, tell them, Moses, that I am has sent you. I am he. All the Pharisees and Sadducees were gone nuts for sure over that one. He just proclaimed, I am Jesus of Nazareth. I am God incarnate. I am he, Jesus said. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them. And Judas was going to betray him with a kiss, but he had to walk up to make sure it was really Jesus. That's what they had told him. But listen to what happened. When Jesus said, I am he, they drew back. That's strange. All he had was words. As the world says today, those are words. They're powerful words, folks. When Jesus said, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. You want to know what the Battle of Armageddon will be like? That's it. You want to know who the warrior of Armageddon is? That's the I am. The I am is here. I will fight your battles for you. Catch it, folks. Religions say, now this is what I want you to suffer for me, to worship their God. Do this for me. Jesus says, what I'm getting ready to do, I'm doing for you. And I am going to give you the courage and the boldness to the point that whatever comes your way, I want you to understand. All you need to do is invoke my name, which will invoke my power. And I will fight those battles for you. I will draw you out of the ditch of life. There's power in those words. There's power in that blood. There's wonder-working power. And that wonder-working power hasn't left. Amen. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, maybe I didn't know how to spell Jesus at that time. Maybe I didn't know Scripture at that time. But he still saved me at that time. Because he said, whosoever lives and believes in me, whosoever comes to me, I will in no ways push him away. You got that? And Jesus says, now, here's what you need to understand. That I'm going to bless each one of you with a ministry. And then people would say, see, this is what I have to do for God. The Lord said, I will not call you to any situation that I will not equip you for. So it is the Christ within us that will proclaim. Not me, not you. It's believing and accepting that Spirit of Christ. And he showed us. Right through his book, the book full of directions as to what we are to do. But he always tells us, I want you to show up to the battle. Folks, how do you win a war if you don't show up to fight? He never said that I had to fight it. He said, I want you to show up. I want you to go ahead and you just get right there on that front line. I want you to stand there. And by doing that, I will know and the people will know that you're trusting me. And watch me defeat the enemy before you. Oh, the Bible is full of those true stories. Of how when God's people would stand without hope, that their enemies, many times their enemy turn on each other and kill themselves. What a show. What a show of power. The Lord said, I didn't come to save you, to lose you. You know how foolish it is for any human being to think that Jesus gave his life on that cross to save us, thinking then, well, yeah, but he can lose us. No, he can't. Hey, he's not going to forget where we are either. Getting older, have we noticed that some things we don't forget, but we've decided to blame it on our wife or husband and say, well, I told them to remember that part. I remembered this part. The Lord said, I won't forget you. I love you too much. I will always be with you, and I'll stand on that front line with you. And Larry, while you're standing there, while you're standing there in the holy boldness, shaking, trembling, for fear of that enemy, whatever it may be, overtaking you, you're not going to stand there in a human body without having the fear. You're not going to stand there as a human being without having the idea of you are going to be killed. Jesus is just giving us the picture of this. You stand there and trust me. I will give you rest. I will win the battle. What I and you are to be doing, Christian brothers and sisters, is trusting him. The revelation of his power is for you and me to see. You think of that. Here they come with their spears and swords, and Jesus says, I'm he. But now I want you to listen to the end one here. The hour of salvation. Every picture of the Old Testament points to the new. It's always been Jesus. The hour of salvation. Let my people go. Gospel of John 18, verses 7 and 9 through 9. Again he asked them, who is it you want? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I told you that I am he. Jesus answered. Now listen to this part. If you are looking for me, then let these men go. This happened, the scripture says, so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled, which are, I have not lost one of those you gave me. At what point did you ever stop to think that he's going to lose any now that call his name? And Jesus himself said, except for the man of perdition, but he was a devil from the beginning. Can you imagine Jesus giving the devil a shot and turning around? Oh, there's going to be so much we get to learn about that story. But what we need to understand is this. I have come for you, for your freedom, for your peace, for your love. I've come so you can have peace and have it to such extent that the world won't understand it. In the middle of trauma, tragedy, I'll give you peace. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And the words of Jesus, Almighty God incarnate, has always been, let my people go. Or what? Or I will take them. There is nothing that I need to fear, but there is everything as a human being we do fear. And we're told, fear not, fear not. And then we think, well, I must not be a very good Christian because I fear. The fear not focuses on fear not, I'll take care of it. God knows our human condition. Jesus showed us with him in agony. Jesus showed us what it was like as a human being to die for everyone that would ever exist. Think of that. And you and I just got our own little problems to worry about. Well, listen to me, Christian. Don't worry about them. Has your worry changed anything? Has it fixed anything? Jesus truly did give us, through his holy word, a picture of what we're truly like. Every one of us have one of the personalities of those apostles. Falling asleep. How do you fall asleep in the middle of a salvation process? But we do. Oh, but I'm so tired, I can't stay awake. And Jesus loved them so much. Boys, I just ask you to pray with me for this short period of time. But now the hour has come. That hour is your hour. That hour is my hour, folks. That hour of salvation. When I said yes to Jesus, I was saved. The hour had come. The hour is coming when we will see Jesus face to face. Whether that hour is the end of the age, or what we call the end of time, or whether it's the end of this next statement or anything else. I don't know what that hour will be, but I'm a Christian, therefore I still get to see. And naturally, I'm going to die before Brother Randy, and I'm going to get so excited that I got to see him first. And then I'll be excited Brother Randy ain't far behind. Folks, that's what being a Christian is. That's what this week is about. Honoring Jesus, our Savior. Can we not just stay awake for 1 week to do that? Can we not stay awake for an hour of a day to celebrate what Jesus Christ has done for us? Let's pray. Father, we know that all hours, all of them, Father, are in your hands. We also know, Father, that you do not go by time. We ask you, Father, and through your mercy, that you will give us the courage and the holy boldness to continue to stand strong in your truth and in your word. I cannot proclaim your name, Father, without your power. None of us can understand your message, Father, without your power. Through your Holy Spirit, Father, you have given us victory. Help us now, Father, to give you praise for such victory. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.